Parshas Vayikra, of course, introduces us to the world of Karbonos. The Pasuk tells us over here towards the beginning of the middle of Perek Beis, Ki chol sar v'chol dvash lo yisaktim yimenu yishel Hashem. You're not allowed to add yeast or honey to any of the Karbonos. And the Baalei Musar understands from here in the Darshanim many important lessons about how to properly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the fact that you're not allowed to add yeast or add honey to the Karbonos. For example, the Ramban tells us that this teaches us you're not supposed to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu from extremes. Sa'or is very bitter, sour bread. Dvash is sweet. So there are two extremes on the palate. So you're not supposed to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu from either extreme. You're not supposed to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu from either extreme, either too sour, too sweet. Rather, a person has to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu from the middle, from the Derech HaMamutza. And oftentimes people make a mistake in Avodas Hashem. They think the way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu is by taking a Tainas Dibor. The way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu is by staying up all night. Staying up all night usually leads to sleeping all morning, but okay, we won't talk about that now. But so by serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu from extremes, that's not the way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with consistency, somewhere in the middle. Every time we find something of Kedusha, there's always Seder. There's always an organization to it. For example, the Leil HaSeder, one of the holiest nights of the year, everything is about Seder. Avodas Yom HaKippurim is the Seder HaVodah. There's an order, a procedure, a process about how you go through it. What do we daven from? We daven from a Seder. And so too, in order for a person to learn properly, also has to have Seder. Seder is the most important part of Talmud Torah. The only way a person can learn properly is if he's a Seder. Every day he comes to Seder. Not one day that he's there all day, then and then you don't see him for 2 days. That's not good. Has to be every single day. And Rabbi said, if we can't keep a Seder in Yeshiva, life doesn't get easier in terms of those things later on. You might have more autonomy, but if you can't keep a Seder here in Yeshiva, how do you expect to keep a Seder later on? It's something we have to ingrain within us, integrate within our schedules for the rest of our lives. So if we have to be machazik ourselves in it now. It's the only way to come to any sense of Kedusha. You know, the Alter from Kelm once came to visit a former Talmud who went on to learn in different Yeshiva. And he came to visit him in Yeshiva. So he went around, you know, in those days he couldn't call ahead, so he didn't know he was coming. So he was looking for him in the Yeshiva. So he went to his, he asked, where's his dorm room? You know, where does he sleep? Maybe you'll find him. So he went to the dorm room and he saw, you know, walked into his room. And he saw the whole closet, everything is so organized, this and that. You know, the Baalei Musar varies, you know, everything has to be just so. So he said, he went to his room and this and that. He said, I've seen all I need to see, and then he left. He said, I don't need to see him. Doesn't matter. Once I saw his closet's organized, his room is organized, there's Seder, so then he knew that there could be Kedusha. Without Seder, there's no Kedusha. You can't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned the other day, the Gemara Maseches Megillah, the Mishnah Maseches Avos, the Kol Omer David B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Lo'olam. Anybody who says something in the name of the person who said it, so that brings the geula to the world. So many people think it's like a skula, big idea. You know, if you say something, you attribute proper credit, so that kind of, you know, hastens the coming of the geula. However, the Maharal writes, this is all based on the pasuk in Megillas Esther, that Esther tells Achashverosh the information that was provided to her by Mordechai, v'toyma lamelech b'shei Mordechai. She said in the name of Mordechai, and ultimately because he wrote it down in the book of his Zechreinus, that night that he couldn't sleep, so he read the Sefer Zechreinus, he saw that it was Mordechai who told him about being some Seresh, and that led ultimately to the Gula in the time of the Menei Sephardim. So you see, maybe Gula Lailam, that's what ultimately precipitated the Gula in the time of the Purim, is that Esther told it to Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai. However, the Maharal writes in his Derech Chaim on Masechtas Avos, what it means is, because before the world was created, what was there? There was Tohu Vavohu. There was confusion. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the Seder Abriya, and now there was Seder, there was organization. That was the purpose of creating the world. So when a person doesn't attribute proper credit, so it's like out there in the blogosphere, you know, the internet somewhere, nobody knows where it's coming from, where it originated, who said it. So that's Tohu Vavohu, that's confusion. If a person says something in the name of the person who said it, so maybe Gula Lo'olam. So it could be that the whole purpose of the world, it redeems the purpose of the world, it justifies the purpose of creation, which was to remove Tohu Vavohu and to have Seder. Because the only way the world can exist, the only way a person could arrive at any form of Kedusha, is not by going to different extremes and one day this and one day that, is by having some sort of order, some sort of process, some commitment to a Seder. It's the only way a person can arrive at Kedusha. So that's the Ramban's lesson. Chol sar v'chol dvash, it's like tibur menu yishel Hashem, means that you shouldn't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu from extremes, but rather through consistency, through Seder perhaps. However, the Sefer HaChinuch derives a different lesson. He says, because both Sa'ar and both Dvash, not that they're extremes, But the Sa'or causes the bread to rise, and the Vash, the sugar, gives you a sugar rush. They both prop you up artificially. Because after you have a sugar rush, you have a, you know, you have a drop. So the Sefer Chinuch says what it means is that you're not supposed to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu mitoch gavus halev, with a sense of arrogance, of, you know, building yourself up, puffing out your chest. Rather, a person is supposed to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu through anivus, through humility. In the beginning of the parasha, first word in the parasha is Vayikra, and as we all know, it's written with an Aleph Ze'era. The Moshe Rabbeinu was called Vayikra El Moshe Vaydaber Hashem Elav Me'o Me'o Le'mar. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him Me'o Me'o. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to diminish the fact that he was being called by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so the Aleph is small. So writes the Rosh in his Perush on Chumash that you see from here, the Chashivos, of course, of Anivos, of humility. However, Rav Shach is quoted by the Sefer called Drush Mordechai, by Mordechai Druk. So he quotes in the name of Rav Shach, who asked, but the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, how come Moshe Rabbeinu do this? The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos that Rabbi Akiva was Derech Tili, Tilim Shel Halachos, reams and reams of halachos from every single tag, on every single crown on the top of the letters. Every single thing about the letters, Rabbi Akiva learned out reams and reams of halachos. So if that's the case, how come Moshe Rabbeinu make the Aleph Ze'era that is memayt in the number of crowns that are on the top of the letter? But the fact that it's a small Aleph. So he's being memayit in Torah. That's not right. You have an Anivus, that's nice. But you're going to be memayit in the amount of halachos Rabbi Akiva could learn out. That's not right. You're damaging, you're preventing the Torah to be learned. So Rav Shach explained that this is the more important lesson than any of the halachos that Rabbi Akiva could learn out. This itself is part of Torah. And that is that a person can't learn Torah unless he has Anivus, unless he approaches the Torah with humility. If he approaches it with, I have to try and squeeze and contort and distort the Torah to fit into the way I want it to present itself, so that's not approaching the Torah with anivus. And then your Torah is not Torah. The only way a person can properly learn Torah is if he approaches it with anivus. In fact, the Maor Vashemesh has a fantastic comment, classic Chassidus Shesvarim, writes that without the Aleph, what is the word Vayikra, without the Aleph? It's Vayikar. Vayikar means glory. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu Zoycha to become such a Gadol b'Yisrael? Why was he Zoycha to have so much glory? Vayikar, because of the small Aleph. Because of the small Aleph, he was Zoycha to have Vayikar. In fact, we had in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu descends after receiving the second set of Luchais. Moshe Rabbeinu's face was glowing. Where did the glow come from? So Medrash says, when he was writing the Torah on the top of our Sinai, there was an extra well of ink. Moshe Rabbeinu took that extra well of ink and he poured it on his face, and then his face began to glow. Not because of some facial cream, it was because of the glow from the ink. How could there be extra ink? Kadosh Baruch Hu was writing a Sefer Torah in our Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the perfect in his perfection, Tumim in his Tmimus. How could it be that there's extra oil? So different Mefarshim deal with it in different ways. Rais the Rambam Mipanu in the Sefer Asara Mamaros is because of the extra ink that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't use on the Aleph. It was supposed to be more. Moshe Rabbeinu, made the Aleph smaller in order to diminish his role, and because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu was zayichet to kikar in our partner. Same idea as the Marva Shemesh. And that is, Moshe Rabbeinu was zayichet to his elevated position because he knew to approach the Torah with humility. That's why the Gemara says, Maseches Brachos, Haviroga, Rishona, Loimar, Eni Yodea. Person should accustom himself. They were making fun of Rabbi Shechter when he was being honored. He always says, I don't know. But he epitomizes that Gemara Masechtas. He always knows, but he just doesn't want to answer you. But I don't know if they mentioned that. That's the emes. But Gemara says Masechtas Brachos, Havi Baragel L'Shayna Lema Eni Yadeya. A person should accustom himself to saying, I don't know. That's the only way to achieve Gadlus. It's when a person recognizes his own humility. They say over a Maisa that some Polish town. And Poland was controlled by feudal lords. You know, they had different people were in charge of different parts of the country. There wasn't one big federal government. It was, small municipalities. And they would often abuse their power. So once, Polish governor came to the Jewish community, and he was feeling good about himself, so he wanted to challenge the best of the Jewish community they had to a duel of wits, to a duel of knowledge. So he said, put up your best, person most knowledgeable about religion, and we'll have a duel, of course, to the death, over a bridge, over a ravine. Whoever is the first one to be stumped by a question of the other is thrown off the bridge. So, usually the deck is stacked against you in these types of engagements. But okay, but the Jewish community had no choice. What else are they going to do? Otherwise, you'd make a pogrom. So fine, so he came to the Jewish community. No one's stepping forward. So they're all sitting in the pub or whatever they are, the base medrash trying to figure out who's going to go. And in walks Shmuel the Schneider, Shmuel the tailor. Not from the, you know, the sharpest knife in the drawer, but all right. So Shmuel says, I'll do it. He says, Shmuel, are you sure you want to do this? He's a tailor. It wasn't exactly, you know, from a scholar and this and that. He didn't, maybe he didn't realize how serious the grave the consequences would be. But okay. So Shmuel said, I'll volunteer. Fine. So they get to the bridge, you know, the two of them walking into the middle of the bridge over the ravine, the feudal lord and Shmuel the Schneider. So he says, he sees, you know, Shmuel walking up. Everyone knew, you know, they knew each other. He says, Shmuel, they threw you out of here, the caravan. You're going to be the one? Okay, fine. He says, Shmuel, you go first. So Shmuel says to the Polish governor, he says, what are the words in Lashon HaKodesh, Eini Yodea mean? So he says, that's easy. I don't know. So everyone, the crowds heard him say, I don't know. Basically, I don't know. So they threw him off the bridge. So they, so Shmuel was welcomed back. The heroes welcomed him back to the Beis Medrash, a parade. So they said, Shmuel, that's brilliant. How did you think of that? So Shmuel said, I'll tell you. I was reading Chumash, you know, with the Taich, and I saw in Rashi is the words, any idea, and the Taich was, basically, I don't know. So he says, if the holy Taich didn't know what the words, any idea, mean, the holy Taish didn't know what they mean in Rashi, any idea, he's certainly not going to know. Anyway, Rabbi Zio, think about it, you'll get the joke. The mind is important. Even holy Rashi says, any idea. It's critical that a person has humility. The Medrash comments in that pasuk, the beginning of the first pasuk in the parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come into the Ohel Moed until he was called. He didn't come into the Ohel Moed until he was called. Then he came. So the Medrash comments that, Kol Talmud Chacham, Shein by das, nevela taiva yemenu. Any Talmud Chacham that doesn't have das, a nevela is better than him. What? It sounds like a midrash plea. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come to who was called, so tell Kol Talmud Chacham Shein by das that doesn't have knowledge, a dead carcass is better than him. What's going on? So Mefarshim explained what it means, das, is that he doesn't know his place. He doesn't understand that even Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't barge into the Ohel Moed until you're called. And if you don't know your place within the hierarchy of Talmidei Chachamim, within the Jewish community, within your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't understand your place. That's what Sternberg writes in Tavadas. It means you don't understand your place. You have no sense of awareness. So then even a nevela toiva yemenu, a dead carcass is better than you. What's the comparison between a dead carcass and a person who doesn't know his place? So Reis Echdushe Harim, because a Talmud Chacham who doesn't know his place could fool people into thinking that he's greater than he is. The people in the Beis Medrash, we all know who's belongs where, hierarchy of Talmidei Chachamim, who knows more. But those who are not initiated or acquainted don't necessarily know. So they see Rabbi, they see, yeah, and he pats himself on the back, and he is speaking by, you know, this or that. So they think, oh, Shava B'Shava, they're all equal. So therefore, Reis Echdushe Harim, no nevela toiva yemenu. A dead carcass is better. A dead carcass, we all see, stinks and smells. We can all tell where it belongs. But a Talmud Chacham, Shein Bo Das, he doesn't know his place, that's worse than everybody. Better be a nevela toiva yemenu. Better be a dead carcass that stinks. We all understand what that is. And so too, in order to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we all have to know our place. We have to approach the Torah with humility. Pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban la'Hashem, and a person will sacrifice himself, a carbon to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Mefarshim asks, it should say, what's mikem? Adam ki yakriv, karban la'Hashem. That's all it has to say. The word mikem is superfluous, it's extraneous, it's extra. Could have just said, Adam ki yakriv, karban la'Hashem. What's mikem? From you. So Reis Tzitzis say, Kain HaChumish, that you have to sacrifice a part of yourself to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not that you have to change who you are. Sometimes people going through a tshuva process or becoming, you know, more committed think that they have to sacrifice part of their personality in order to become more committed to Torah. It's not the case. A person can be as lebedic, as fun, as perhaps weird as he was before. You could do all those things and be a Talmud Chacham. One has nothing, they don't preclude the other. However, you don't have to sacrifice part of your personality. What you do have to sacrifice, though, is your humility. Right? So Tzitzei Kain, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, you have to sacrifice a part of yourself in order to become, to bring a carbon to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. To sacrifice, to recognize you did a mistake, bring a carbon chattas, but also to sacrifice our gaiva, how highly we think of ourselves and our intellect and our place within the Jewish community. You have to sacrifice a little bit of that in order to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu properly. To have a little bit of anivus. Okay. Sure.